As was mentioned earlier, we are going to talk about the wicked and the character of the wicked. And we should look at the world around us, and is there any doubt that there is wickedness in the world? We see evidence of it daily in our news. We see it more often. We end up in direct contact with it. We find people who are wicked probably more often than we wish. We see them at work. We see them sometimes among friends. We run into them. And we might wonder, as the psalmist did, as in Psalms chapter 10. And we're going to focus there. So if you want to put your marker in your Bible over in Psalms 10, we are going to be working our way through this Psalms and understanding it better. But the psalmist says, "Why do you stand far off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourselves in times of trouble? Why aren't you doing something about all this wickedness?" It's an interesting question, especially when you understand that oftentimes the atheists, the ones who don't believe in God, actually use this as a claim that there is no God. Well, look at all the evil in the world. God doesn't do anything about it, so therefore God doesn't exist. But it still doesn't address the problem. Why doesn't God do something about all the evil? And the psalmist then goes on to tell us about the character of the wicked. First off, we find in verse 2, it says, "In pride the wicked hotly pursue the afflicted. Let them be caught in the plots which they devised." The wicked preys on people that he perceives as being weaker than himself. And the psalmist tells us why. It's out of pride. See, to the wicked person, the world revolves around himself. The weak, the poor, they're just easy victims because the wicked man never sees the world from another person's point of view. He doesn't think about what other people think. He only thinks of what, and hey, if you got a weak person, that's an easy prey. If a poor person becomes caught in one of his traps, well, that's the guy's fault. He wasn't being careful. It's certainly not the wicked person's fault from his point of view. And in verse 3, it says, "For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire, and the greedy man curses and spurns the Lord." See, the wicked person takes pleasure in getting what he wants. That's why he preys on other people. See, he doesn't think about it from the other person's point of view. He doesn't think about, well, he's making somebody else's life miserable. No, what he looks at and says, "I got something." And he takes pleasure in getting what he wants. Take a look at Philippians. Let me get it down here. Looks like I left out a verse. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And verses 18 to 19. "For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things." That describes the wicked. They're focused on earthly things, and they're focused on getting what they desire. And that, from their point of view, that basically makes what's right and wrong. In fact, from a wicked person's point of view, he thinks everyone should and does basically are driven by getting what they want. That's why bribery is so prevalent among the wicked. Well, everybody wants money. Okay. And God is not a consideration. What God wants is not a consideration. He never considers that you can't take the things that you gain with you. Over in Psalms 49. Psalms 49. And in verse 16. It says, "Do not be afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not descend after him. Though while he lives, he congratulates himself, and though men praise you when you are do well for yourself, he shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see the light. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like a beast that perishes." You can't take it with you. You can't take all the glory with you. You can't take the riches with you. You have to go to the grave, and there you face God in judgment. But see, to the wicked, God never even enters the wicked man's heart. Never enters his thoughts at all. It's not saying that these people are atheists who deny that God even exists. Though they are, for all intents and purposes, they're atheists in intent, in practice. They make decisions without ever considering what does God say or what does God want. They're just not interested in pleasing God. In other words, to the wicked, God really isn't real. In Psalms 19, Psalms 19 and in verse 1, the heavens are telling the glory of the God, I want Psalm 36, sorry, not 19. Psalms 36 and verse 1. Psalms 36 and verse 1, it says, "Transgression speaks to the ungodly within his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes." He never thinks about God. He never has any fear of God. Now that's what happened to the Gentile society. In Romans chapter 1, Paul describes how the Gentile society decayed to such mass evil, especially the Greek society. We don't oftentimes think about or realize it, that when the New Testament was written and the Greek society was there, it had become so corrupt and so evil that that's one of the things that led to the Jews not wanting to have anything to do with the Gentiles, is they were so deeply involved in sin. But Paul talks about how it got to that point. And in verse 21, it says, "For even though they knew God," and he's talking about they knew him at least from nature, he says, "they did not honor him as God, nor give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened." They had the opportunity to know God, but they never thought about God. And so it never was a part of their thoughts. And if you don't understand that, just look around the world today. Because we're repeating that. We've had people that are very actively trying to get God out of daily thought. That's why it's not taught in schools anymore. That's why people get upset when people mention God. People don't want to consider it. They don't want to think about it. And so we're repeating the same practices and the same evils that happened before. And then once again, it's the cause of its pride. See, the wicked have no interest in bending his will to anybody else, especially not to God. And so by ignoring God, they can do whatever they please, at least in their mind. See, they won't accept anyone who tells them they're wrong. And so they reject it. I was just talking to a young man yesterday. He happened to mention something, and then I started poking at it, that, you know, and we got talking about that homosexuality was wrong. And he claimed he didn't understand that. So we went through, and then I showed him some of the verses. Well, if that's what religion's about, then I don't want anything to do with it. Then there's no consideration. It's all about what I want. The idea that I might be wrong, well, then, hey, then I don't, then I'm just not going to take that. I'm not going to listen. Religion then becomes foolishness to that such a person. Take a look at, and again, I missed one of the verses, but 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. They just see this as all foolishness. In verse 21, see, there says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through his wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased with the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. The world's wisdom doesn't include God. It doesn't bring a person to the conclusion that God exists. Their brand of wisdom just doesn't include it. So no wonder they go the way they go. In Psalms 10 again, now we're down to verse 5, it says, his ways prospers at all times. His judgments are on high, out of his sight. For all of his adversaries, he snorts at them. The wicked person seems to, at least if it's on the surface, he appears to prosper without any consequences. He doesn't seek higher justice. He doesn't try to reach for levels of maturity above him. In Proverbs chapter 24, Proverbs 24, and in verse 7, it says, wisdom is too exalted for a fool. He does not open his mouth in the gate. He doesn't try for any higher standard. He'd rather have the standards lowered to his level, if not below. He also doesn't try to understand. In Proverbs 24, or sorry, Psalms 92. I already read Proverbs 24. Psalms 92. Psalms 92, starting with verse 5. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man has no knowledge, nor does a stupid man understand this. That even the wicked sprout up like the grass, and all who did iniquity flourish, it was only that they might be destroyed forevermore. He just doesn't understand. Doesn't really want to understand. All he wants is to get whatever he desires. The psalmist here describes as being like a blade of grass. They grow, they flourish, never thinking that, hey, they're just there to be mowed down. And the wicked doesn't see God's justice because he doesn't even look. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26 and in verse 11. O Lord, your hand is lifted, yet they do not see it. They see your zeal for the people and are put to shame. Indeed, fire will devour your enemies. Now notice what it was saying. God's hand is lifted up. It's like, you know, you see mom or dad raising their hand to swatch your bottom. God's hand's lifted up and they don't even see it. They don't know what's coming. They don't look for God's justice. In verse 10, chapter Psalms 10, verse 6, It says, he says to himself, I will not be moved. Through all generations, I will not be in adversity. I won't be harmed. I got impenetrable armor. He just doesn't think he can fail. And he doesn't think about the end. He doesn't think about the consequences. He doesn't think about the long-term prospects. In Psalms 49, starting with verse 10, it says, for he sees that even wise men die, the stupid and the senseless are alike perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inner thoughts is that their houses are forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They have called their lands after their own names, but man in his pomp will not endure. He is like the beast that perishes. We oftentimes do that. Name things after ourselves. Think that that's going to, you know, leave a lasting heritage. Think we're going to have something that's going to last forever. But a lot of wicked people never even consider that, hey, they're going to die. That this life is not for me. That's just not a consideration. Tomorrow is just a continuation of today. Take a look at Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56 and verse 12. Come, they say, let's get wine and let us drink heavily a strong drink. And tomorrow will be like today, only more so. We're just going to have more fun tomorrow. It's not just a problem with teenagers. This is a problem with adults who just don't grow up and see the consequences of their own actions. And part of this is also because the wicked person constantly thinks that he is safe. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, while they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. Just when they think everything is going perfectly their way, everything collapses. And that's what we have to understand as righteous people. Too often we allow ourselves to get envious of the wicked and say, look at how much they gain and look how much they prosper. And they don't consider everything and they don't care. We have to start looking at the long term and seeing that they're on unstable ground and it's going to collapse on them. But the wicked person is just plainly a foul-mouthed liar. Going back to Psalms chapter 10, in verse 7, it says, his mouth is full of curses and deceit and opposition. Under his tongue is mischief and wickedness. See, the wicked person tells you things you don't want to hear. But he also doesn't tell you everything he thinks. He's deceptive. In Psalms 12, starting with verse 2, it says, for they speak falsehood to one another. With flattering lips and with a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue of that speaks great things, who say, with our tongues we will prevail, with our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? I can say what I want. And such people tell lies because they can manipulate people that way. And it starts all the way from childhood. It's not something that just gets turned on. They grow up this way. In Psalm 58, back in verse 3, it says, the wicked are estranged from the womb, and those who speak lies go astray from birth. They raise in an environment of evil and lying. And so they just grow up continuing that practice. Part of the reason why they never consider it. And again, pride enters into the equation in Psalms 59 and in verse 12. On account of sin of their mouth and the words of their lip, let them be caught in their pride on account of curses and lies which they utter. Why do people tell so many lies? Because they believe that they can do anything they want and it doesn't matter. Part of the deception is they often attack, we already mentioned they attack the weak, but he'll attack them in secret. In Psalms 10, starting with verse 8, he says, he sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the hiding places, he kills the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the unfortunate. He lurks in a hiding place as a lion in his lair. He lurks to catch the afflicted. He catches the afflicted when he draws him into his net. He crouches, he bows down, and the unfortunate fall by his mighty ones. He's like that robber who's standing in the alley, the dark alley, just waiting for a victim to come by. Jeremiah in his day found that to be widespread. In Jeremiah chapter 5, Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 26. For wicked men are found among my people. They watch like fowlers lying in wait. They set a trap. They catch men. That's what Jeremiah saw. Just people just waiting to trap other people in their schemes. Micah found that problem too. In fact, Micah got to the point where he was wondering if there's any righteous people left. Take a look at Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7 and verse 2. The godly person has perished from the land. There is no upright person among men. All of them lie in wait for bloodshed. Each of them hunts the other with a net. Everybody's turned to violence. Everybody's just trying to hunt everybody else down. Nobody cares about other people. And because the wicked person doesn't see the immediate consequences to his action, he has the false assumption that there aren't any. In Psalms 10 and verse 11, he says to himself, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. See, the wicked person is convinced himself. He tells himself lies. He tells himself that God doesn't care. He tells himself that God doesn't notice. Take a look at Psalm 73. Psalm 73 and verse 11. They say, does God know? And is there knowledge with the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked that are always at ease. They increase in wealth. God doesn't take note of this. God doesn't care. That's why I can get away with all this. But they really don't understand God. In Psalms 94... Psalms 94, and starting with verse 3. How long shall the wicked, O Lord, how long shall the wicked exult? They pour forth words, they speak arrogantly. All who do wickedness vaunt themselves. They crush your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and the murder of the orphans. They have said, the Lord does not see, nor does the Lord God of Jacob pay heed. Pay heed, you senseless among the people. And when you will understand, O stupid ones. He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? He who chastens the nations, will he not rebuke? Even he who teaches man knowledge, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, and that they are a mere breath. You think God's not paying attention to the world that he created? That God doesn't see what's going on? But they don't understand God. And the delay that they see in their consequences just emboldens them more to do more sin. Take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes 8, starting with verse 11, it says, "But because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. Although a sinner does not evil 100 times and may lengthen his life, still I know there will be well for those who fear God and who fear him openly. But it will not be well for the evil man, and he will not lengthen the days, his days like a shadow, because he does not fear God." People get bold when they don't get immediate consequences. But these people think in the immediate terms, they don't think long term. And so they become more and more wicked. It's the righteous who thinks long term. It's the righteous who's not afraid to stand up and be right. But then sin deceives the sinner. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting with verse 9, it says, "That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence, so that they will believe what is false, in order that they may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness." People just don't want the truth. And God's response is, fine, I'll give you what you want. And it just makes the distinction between the righteous and the wicked that much clearer. But God will execute justice. In Psalms 10 again, starting with verse 12. "Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the afflicted. Why has the wicked spurned God? He has said to himself, you will not require it. You have seen it, for you have beheld mischief and vexation to take it into your hand. The unfortunate commits himself to you, and you have been the helper of the orphan. Break the arm of the wicked and the evildoer. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. Nations have perished from his hand. O Lord, you have heard the desires of the humble. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to vindicate the orphan and the oppressed, so that man who is of the earth will no longer cause terror." God will execute judgment. God will avenge. One of the promises of Jesus returning in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting with verse 4. 2 Thessalonians 1, starting with verse 4. "Therefore we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. For after all, that it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus." Now, it's easy to point fingers at other people and say, just look at what they do and what they have become. But we have to understand the deceitfulness of sin. We have to be ever vigilant because we can be fooled. That's why there's a warning in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 12. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. We need to ask ourselves if Satan's leading us down the path of wickedness. Because we can't go part way. This is not something you can stick your toe in and see if it's the water's fine before you walk in. You can't go down that path. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, starting with verse 14. It says, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it. Pass on. Don't go even start down that path. Don't go close. Because it doesn't happen overnight. It's not a sudden shift. It's a step-by-step process which people get further and further into sin. Our society has been decaying. We can see it in our lifetime. I can see vast differences from my childhood to today. It didn't happen overnight, though. I've been around for a little while. It's been a step-by-step process down the path of wickedness. Each time moving further and further into sin, we have to be vigilant that we don't fall into that trap. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that's selected.